everyone. Welcome to Movie Minutes, the top three podcast that brings you the best cinema has to offer. My name is Angelina Dory, and I'm hosting this with Avril King.
So it's the spooky season. Halloween was yesterday, but that doesn't mean that you can't still binge watch some seasonal favorites. And that's why today we're bringing you the top three best horror slash Halloween movies to come out in the last year.
So we should mention that this was originally going to be the top five best horror movies, but then we realized that there was way too much to talk about these three movies specifically to fit into our time slot.
So Angelina, when it comes to horror movies, you and I could not be more different. Angelina is a horror movie enthusiast, where I absolutely hate just about everything about the genre. And I really have only seen two horror movies in my life. The first one was Scream 4. In
really
like
count,
the seventh grade at a Halloween movie, a Halloween party, and then the other one was Gothica with Robert Downey Jr. Have you ever seen that one?
Nope.
Wow.
It's interesting that you've only ever seen one movie that I actually have not seen because I watch every horror movie.
I didn't actually see the beginning of that one, but I still count it.
Okay. Well, at least you watched it.
Yes.
So. So, with that, all of that being said, if you are terrified of horror movies, you may not enjoy today's broadcast. But if you do like the occasional jump scare and the murderous clown, the only thing you have to be afraid of is the spoilers.
And we should mention that this is ranked by overall best as determined by Angelina. I have not actually seen any of these movies.
Yeah, she was a bit too scared to watch them herself. So.
Yeah. So I will be providing the background information today. So number three on our list is Eli.
Promise.
Okay, so the basic premise for this that I got from the trailer and from the Wikipedia page was that a boy becomes trapped in a scary house while he's getting treatment for a rare disease that makes him allergic to the outdoors, but it soon becomes clear that this is not the real reason why he's being quote-unquote treated. It was directed by, I'm gonna take a guess here, Ciaran Foy. It made a worldwide total of just under $160 million, but only got a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I think it's important to mention that I literally started crying as I read the Wikipedia description for this movie, and then had to sprint home in the dark right after.
So overall, watching this film, it does have some very clever cinematic shots, and it did have me hooked for the first two-thirds of the movie. It's the lame jump scares that began way too early on in the film and the very strange and ridiculous turn the plot took towards the end that kind of threw me off a bit.
Yeah, can we actually talk about that? I was reading, like, I was scared for the first, like, two-thirds, mm-hmm. and then it was like, oh, he's the son of the devil, and I was like, oh, that's lame.
Yeah, so I'll go step by step on what's going on here. So the family arrives to a mansion that obviously looks haunted. Like, it's, I mean, there's fog literally around the building and nowhere else, so it kind of gives it away that it's kind of haunted. So it seems like the doctor, her name's Dr. Horn, was doing something fishy behind the scenes when it came to the medication that they were giving Eli and the seemingly evil procedures that they were making him go through. It seemed inhumane. And Eli's only friend that he could trust was some strange redhead girl that would visit him in the garden of the mansion just to pass the time, because apparently she has nothing better to do with her life.
Same girl from Stranger Things, right?
Same girl from Stranger Things.
Mad Max.
Yeah, Mad Max, yep. Mm-hmm. And it really seems like Dr. Horn's the evil one, especially when Eli finds these files of like the dead bodies of past patients that she had. However, the film completely lost me when it turned out that Eli was actually the son of the devil, and the doctors were actually nuns, and the parents were extremely religious and fell for one of the devil's lies in exchange for a child. So basically, they could not conceive a child on their own through God, I guess. Mm-hmm. So they turned to the devil for a kid, because who wouldn't do that, right?
Yeah.
So, so Eli's, you know, the spawn of Satan, basically, and he kills everybody and finds out that the redhead girl is also his sister. So that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so overall, it's kind of bittersweet in that the film started off very promising, you know, had very good cinematic shots, very good atmosphere. But as a lot of horror movies that I've watched nowadays do, the writers got very, very lazy with the ending, and it's not the first recent horror film I've seen that does this. So my overall rating of this film is 6 out of 10.
All right, so you agree with the Rotten Tomatoes?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes nailed it on this one.
All right, so we'll head to number 2, which is In the Tall Grass.
Cal?
Becky!
Something's not right about this. I think we should head back to the road.
Okay, so this is based on the novella by Stephen King and Joe Hill. A brother and sister enter into a field of tall grass, trying to save a boy that they think is trapped. Little do they know that entering the grass is the easy part. Exiting becomes difficult and deadly. Uh-huh. It came out on October 4th of this year and was directed by, I gotta guess again, Vincenzo Natali. Interestingly enough, I couldn't find any box office, like how much it made or anything like that.
That is interesting.
But it got a 37% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb. And despite that, I spent the entire time watching the trailer, like half covering my eyes.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with Rotten Tomatoes on this one because I actually thought this one was at least better than Eli. I did notice in the beginning, a lot of the Netflix horror films that have recently come out, they use the same font for their title screens as the hit show Stranger Things, which I honestly think is a really good marketing strategy on their part because it lures fans of Stranger Things into other horror movies that they provide. But anyway, going on to In the Tall Grass. Time is completely irrelevant in this really random haunted field. Every single character that's in this film goes through a series of repetitive deaths and is forced to make every single choice, not just one choice, because the field is a never-ending time loop, basically. That's what I got from it. So only the pregnant sister, her brother, and the boy Tobin make it out alive out of, I think there was also Tobin's father and mother, whom the father was he was insane, because the field made him that way, apparently. It was very confusing. I actually had to watch it a second time. But anyway, so the father of the second family who got lost in the field, he becomes crazy from the field's visions, and this sends him off killing every character in the time loop over and over again. There's one shot that's actually really cool where it literally shows the character that's killed and all of the times that he's died, like the oldest body is decaying, and then it goes through all of the bodies, which I thought was bizarre. Mm-hmm. So the boy Tobin ends up escaping through this time loop, and the time loop sends him exiting through the door of a church across the street. That's like basically the exit of the field. That's how you get out. And there's a bunch of old dusty cars there of previous victims of the field that obviously didn't get out. So he then warns the sister and brother that's there again next to the field to not go in the field, mm-hmm. even though they hear him calling in the field for help because it's a time loop. It sounds really confusing, and it is, trust me. It's very, very confusing. After watching it a second time, it makes a little more sense, but not really. Half the movie is literally just the characters wandering around calling each other's names. And yet somehow I forgot most of their names by the end of the movie. But regardless, the concept of time in this movie was definitely utilized in a creative way. And while there were some parts that were not so great and a bit extreme to me, like this one part where the sister was fed her own baby.
I read about that in the Wikipedia page. I was like, okay.
Didn't know what was happening for a hot minute there. Come I had to on. Look up what was going on. That was very strange. The movie did keep me on the edge of my seat until the very end, unlike Eli. So my rating of this is a 7 out of 10.
All right. With that, we'll go to our number one choice, which was It Chapter 2.
If it isn't dead, if it ever comes back, we'll come back to you.
Okay, so our favorite child-eating clown is back, except this time the Losers Club, they're now adults, is determined to kill it for good. Of course, this is the sequel to the 2017 box office hit, which grossed $700.4 million worldwide, and it's also based on Stephen King's best-selling novel. It came out on September 6th and was directed by Andy Muschietti.
Interesting names.
I know, yeah. It grossed $452.6 million worldwide, 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb. And I will say, I actually found this one pretty intriguing. I did a lot of research on this one. I read the Wikipedia page for this one, and then I read the Wikipedia page for the 2017 one, mm-hmm. and then the 1990 one, and then the book. Because I thought it was really interesting, and I was like looking into the lore of the macro universe mm-hmm. and that whole thing. Was it enough to make me watch the movie? Absolutely not. But I can appreciate a solid original storyline, especially one with such a big societal impact.
And, I mean, obviously two out of these three movies are Stephen King movies, so he's very influential on horror films, especially nowadays. But I'm a huge It fan. I read the book, watched the old movie. I mean, I definitely also thought that It Chapter 2 was one of the better movies, in my opinion, actually. I love the original from the 1990s, and the new one from 2017 was pretty good, too. But I did like the second movie more than the first one from 2017. It was funnier, scarier, and it had a lot more storyline to it than the first one. The scariest scene I have seen in a long, long time, which is really saying something because I watch scary movies all the time, was this one part where the girl out of the Losers Club group, Bethany, she visits her old house, and an elderly lady now lives there. But she's not actually an elderly lady. She's just the clown.
That would be too easy.
Of course, of course. So the way the movie did this was really, really clever. So Bethany's wandering around the house, and this lady, she doesn't look different. She still looks like an elderly lady. But she's in the background, and the way she crawls and walks around, like, she's just standing there like a normal person, and then all of a sudden she's just, it scared me so much. Like, I was on the edge of my seat in the theater that entire scene. It was ridiculous. So that was really well done. And it left me shaking. Like, that's the scene I talked about with all my friends. It was insane. But it was also really nice to see the transitions between the losers when they were children from the first movie and now when they're adults, especially with Bill Hader. Mm. He was so funny in this movie. I didn't think that they cast him well because I honestly thought, okay, he's too funny. He can't be good for a scary movie, but honestly, he was. And not to mention, this movie's a lot more violent. We get to see Pennywise bite and kill not one, not two, but three children this time, which is great. The ending was a little expected and cliche, unfortunately, but it did not really take away from how good of a movie it was. And as a huge fan of Stephen King, this is the best version of it I have seen on screen thus far. So my rating is an 8.5 out of 10 for this one.
That's pretty higher than Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I mean, but that's also because I'm a huge It fan, so I probably have some bias there, unfortunately.
All right, well, we are going to turn it over to our audience now. My first question is, how many people here actually enjoy horror movies, just by a show of hands? Okay, we've got like 1.5.
I'm over there, too.
Oh, 2.5. So why would anyone like to defend themselves
just
here?
Why? Anyone? Anyone comment why they like horror movies? What about them makes you like them? Anybody? No?
Has anyone seen these movies?
Has anyone seen any of these movies? Would you want to share your opinion on that?
Sure, yeah. I don't like horror movies, though. Yeah, I saw the second It and Eli, and I really liked It a lot. It was really scary, but I liked the background and everything in it, everything that like added to it. And Eli, I didn't really like it because it was a scary movie, but I thought it was terrifying. I don't know, to me, like, movies where people are, like, possessed by, like, the devil or demons, like, I don't know, it's just so scary to me. Mm. So, I don't know, that plot twist, I wished that it didn't happen because it was so scary. Yeah, those are my thoughts on that.
Wait, don't go just yet. Why did you see those movies if you don't like horror movies?
Yeah, what made you see them?
My boyfriend made me.
Fair enough. All right, well, with that being said, I think that's the end of our podcast. Thank you for tuning in.
I'll play us out.
Yeah.